What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
This is Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app and take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Anyways, that was Charlie Jacobs. Speaking out, Cam Neely had some things to say as well. But according to Charlie Jacobs, we're trying to win cups, guys. Going for cups here. Can't get to the cup if you don't make the playoffs. And while they are a playoff team right now, as it currently stands, they are hovering on the brink of not being one. And the way things have gone lately, these last two games notwithstanding, it does seem as though the trend was going in that direction. Now, that was one of two, I thought, maybe controversial is not the right word, but comments that got my antennas up. Cam Neely had the other one, and we'll get to that in just a second. But what do you make of Charlie Jacobs coming out and making these kind of statements?
Well, I think it's necessary. So this was at the Bruins gala, right?
Yes.
Fundraising gala, charitable foundation gala. I mean...
Black and gold gala.
Black and gold. Yeah, yeah. I think it's necessary. I mean, this has been a struggle of a season.
Mm.
A struggle.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
This has been an eye-opener.
Yeah.
As in, whoa, wait a minute. We thought this whole situation was something else.
Yeah. But in every way.
Yeah.
I would even wrap the Keith Marchand, social media, all that crap into it. It's not dissimilar to another team in town who struggled that I can't say, and then their players started criticizing fans and like, it's off the rails borderline.
Yeah.
Now, I know the last couple games...
They've been galvanized by Rich Keefe.
Maybe you've gotten back on the rails, and maybe that's a good thing, but that doesn't
peeling
wipe
off
out
sections in the locker room like the Major League, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to see his hairy chest soon and whatever.
See his Rich Keefe is what we're going to see.
Unmentionables.
Oh, yeah.
Boxers?
Briefs.
Briefs?
Mm.
Tighty-whities?
Mm.
Or like a floral brief?
Yeah, maybe something like that. Yeah.
That would Marchand would really enjoy that.
I mean, they all would. Who wouldn't enjoy that?
Probably me. Not that interesting.
You're the one brought it up, so.
Well, it's your idea.
All right.
You think they
you took it to the next step.
Taking pieces off of Keefe's unmentionables.
As to what kind of underwear he'd be wearing.
I like details. Scenario. If stories are going to exist, I want details.
We know you like
said
the details.
Stories. But no, this has been a miserable season. And,
yes.
And in miserable seasons like this, I think you look to ownership to somehow have an opinion, have a voice, right? Like, isn't that part of this? Now, he's backing Sweeney and Neely.
Right.
Well, I would always say, for now. I feel like that's always unsaid, but kind of included. They're backing you for now. If the wheels fall, Robert Kraft was probably backing Gerard Mayo for a certain period of time, and then he stopped backing Gerard Mayo and got him backed right out the door.
Did you hear him do the whole owner of another team that we're not talking about right now routine where he's like, I'm a fan. Like,
yeah.
I'm just like all of you. I'm really a big fan of this team. And
I'm
I
even
see
more
him win.
Frustrated than you are right now.
And
give me a break.
It's like everybody's copying that same.
Well, it's smart.
Yeah, it is.
Because it's working so well with that other team's owner.
But you try to.
The only one who doesn't do that is John Henry. He could care less. He's like, yeah, I don't care about this.
Openly not a fan.
I only care about Stan the Man Musial.
He couldn't tell you what the fans are thinking at any point
no
in time.
No idea. Right.
Clueless. Yeah. Out of touch, out of sight, out of mind. The whole thing. But also, it's the smart thing to do is to try to relate to the fan, right? Because you know, if you care,
right?
If you care enough, you know the fans are pissed. And the fans are pissed because you're not as good as you're supposed to be. You're not good. You're not trending in the right direction. In fact, up until lately, you were trending right out the playoffs. And now, I wondered how you felt about it, though, because you are an advocate that those two should be on very thin ice, correct?
Yes. Yes, I am.
So you can't like the fact that they had some public support.
It's not so much that they had public support. I was expecting there to be public support because, as Jacob said, for the last 8 years, we've made the playoffs. And you can't win the cup if you don't make the playoffs. And in doing that, he kind of revealed his hand. He kind of gave away the game right there, didn't he? Which is, get to the playoffs, and if that's all you do, that's okay. Basically, that's what he's saying. You know, you can't win the cup if you don't make the playoffs. But even if you don't win the cup, just make the playoffs, and that's fine. Like, that's basically what the message that I got from that. And it's the message they've been screaming in our faces for the past decade. More than that, really.
Oh,
I mean, they've been
that.
Saying this forever. And it's like, okay,
years.
We know. And, yeah, playoff revenue's nice, and you want to keep the building lit up and all that. You don't have to worry about that because the Celtics will be in the playoffs forever. But either way, to hear that, it's like, all right, this doesn't really sound like the type of overhaul I was looking for. And in order to go in a new direction, sometimes you got to tear it down and build it back up. And it doesn't sound like Jacobs is willing to do that, but it does sound like Cam Neely may be willing to do that, as Cam Neely talked about the two different paths. Do we have this, Stiz? He talked about the two paths that the Bruins can go down here at the trade deadline.
Sounds like a book A.J. Brown would read on the sideline.
It does.
The two paths.
The two paths. There were footsteps, and then there was one set of footsteps, and it was when you carried me, is what happened. Anyway, here's Cam Neely in the two paths.
What is the appetite for a retool or a step back?
Well, right now, I don't really have that appetite, but like I told our GM and the staff, we have our meetings coming up here in a little bit that, you know, we do have to prepare for two paths. I mean, obviously, the one path is that we're buyers. You know, we feel good about our team, but the other path is, you know, maybe somewhat of a retool, but we're not focusing on that right now. We're focusing on trying to get our team to be in a better place.
Retool. It's the last time they retooled like this. They've been adding at the deadline for many, many years.
Oh, yeah.
There hasn't been a retooling that I can even remember.
Is it like 06, 07?
Yeah, you're going
when you brought Savard in?
Yeah, right. Yeah, when Brazier was still playing.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Yeah, you're going back a ways.
The Hannu Toivonen years.
Yeah, when they traded Thornton and that type of thing. When they brought in Savard, maybe that's when you consider the last retooling. And there's been years where they missed the playoffs since then, obviously. But it wasn't because they tore it down and started over. Like,
right.
It was injuries happened or something happened. And now here we are. They're still a playoff team right now, and it's important to remember that, because that's very important to the Jacobs family. But a retool at the deadline, for Cam Neely to come out and say that, if you retool at the deadline, you're basically punting the season. And Jacobs just said, well, no, it's really important we make the playoffs. That's bold. I'm saying that's a bold thing to do. It's a bold thing to even suggest.
Sure, but so retool and rebuild are not the same, right?
When I hear retool, he said we can either add or we can retool.
Yeah, see, that struck me too, but
that means not add. That means the opposite of add.
Right,
but
does it mean tear down?
Yeah.
Or does it mean, because I started wondering this.
Start trading away some contracts and free up some money, and then
but
you retool.
For what,
and
well, see,
I don't know,
to me,
whatever.
A rebuild is trade away for draft picks, trade away
draft
for
picks
young
and prospects. And they need that, by the way. They need both of those things.
A retool for me is more, can we swap contracts? Can we find other potential change of scenery type players? And that's the first thing I thought of, is wondering if, does he mean rebuild, which is sell up? We can't re-sign Marchand. We'll sell him off. Or we'll sell this contract. Like, that's a rebuild.
That's true. It's two different things. You're right. Yeah.
But you're also right in that the way he said we're either buyers or retooling.
Right.
Like, because I feel like retooling is almost
retooling.
Buying.
You can spin into buying.
Yeah, that's how I
look.
Took
what
it.
We did. Yeah,
yes.
We traded for this guy. Oh yeah,
we're
your
trying
favorite
to
player's
win.
Gone, but we brought in this guy.
We're
that's
moving
not,
things.
That's considered adding, right? You consider that adding.
That's how I looked at
or
it.
Or any team would spin that as adding.
So that's how I looked at it.
Yeah.
So he didn't actually bring up rebuilding as much as he two different paths toward competing for the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's kind of how, that was my read on it.
Interesting stuff. 617-779-7937. Let's go down to the great state of Rhode Island. Jake is in Providence. He has a thought on the Celtics. Hi, Jake.
Hi, how's it going, boys?
Good, Jake. What's up?
I personally think that, although I'm not overly concerned about the Celtics, I do think that the issues lie mainly with JB, and I do see that becoming an issue that can get into the playoffs. The issue I'm seeing is that when JB stops hitting shots and his jumper's not falling, he's not getting the bucket well, he starts trying to take over the game by taking the ball and turning into 2001 JB, where he drives hard, jumps off of one foot, throws it into a corner where nobody's there, and then the rest of his game suffers around that. He stops cutting. He stops the off-ball movement. He stops defending, and it changes all of the spacing for the game. But I see the big problem being he just takes over. He takes the ball out of Tatum's hands, and he keeps driving and keeps going. I think if he, you know, the whole mental instability of this team can be pretty scary, especially when it gets to the playoffs. But that's just my thought on the guy.
All right, thanks for the call, Jake. And
that last part was awesome.
Yeah.
The whole mental instability of this team. When they are flowing, they look great, right?
Yeah.
Like, they all fit together, and it works.
They're a wagon when they're...
And I would include Mazzulla in that. It's like everything he does works, But I agree with him. I'm actually going to agree with a critique of Jaylen Brown.
Well, you didn't agree with that part of it. You agreed with the part at the end about the team and the mental instability. But Jaylen Brown does have a tendency to try and, you know, just slam his way out of this.
Yes.
You know, like when he's having a bad game.
When he's not in the flow of the game, he can get really sideways outside the flow of the game.
Jaylen Brown last night, 10 points on 4 of 16 shooting with 7 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, and 2 turnovers, which, by the way, for a game that was as ugly as that was, they didn't turn the ball over a lot. It wasn't that sloppy. I was expecting to see, like, oh, they had, like, 20 turnovers.
No.
They only had, like, 9 turnovers. So that's not – it was really just the shooting and the defensive effort is what burned them in that one.
And a lot of shooting. There were multiple possessions where they got, like, 2 or 3 shots.
Mm.
And usually when they do that, miss a shot, but they get an offensive rebound, they make you pay.
Right.
They never made you pay last night, it didn't feel like. They would get an offensive rebound, then miss a shot, get another offensive rebound, miss a shot. Oh, long rebound, breakaway, score for Raptors. It was ugly.
Yeah, ugly, ugly game.
Disgusted, as it's been described on social media by Brian Frazoco.
Yes, yes, it has. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. When we return, it is a team that plays in Foxborough free first hour, which means got a little Red Sox to tell you about, as John Heyman, continuing to torture us for some reason, thinks that they got a real shot at Vlad Guerrero. He's been trumpeting this for a while, and he said it again yesterday. We'll get into the details.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Next.
Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
That was John Heyman before angrily slamming the phone down and hanging up, I'm sure. Anyway.
I have trouble listening to him.
Why?
I don't know.
Does he talk like RFK?
Yes.
Junior, yeah.
I was going to say, that same uncomfortable feeling I get listening to RFK.
It's the same kind of shaky voice. It's not as bad. RFK is worse. But
it gives
it's
me
a
feeling in my back.
In your plums?
No, it's in my back. It's like not quite my spine.
Feeling in your back.
Not quite my spine. It's just to like the edges of my spine. It's strange.
Makes you like tense up.
Yeah.
Huh.
Uncomfortable.
Hmm.
And I know I shouldn't. I mean, they can't do anything about it. But
No, it's true.
But I also can't do anything about the way I react.
Right. Yeah. That's just science. Just
open-minded.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, John Heyman.
So Vlad's coming.
The Red Sox are very interested in Vlad Guerrero. Oh, okay. They're interested in him? Do they have the framework of a trade in place or something, or are they just interested in him? Because if they're just interested in him, that means literally less than nothing to
Correct.
Me anymore. There shouldn't be no, and I don't know why he continues to torture Red Sox fans with stuff like this. Interested in Vlad Guerrero? You're interested in Vlad Guerrero? Were you interested in Teoscar Hernandez and Burns and all these other people that have been signed to other teams? I'm sorry. The only thing about this that has me even hanging on a little bit is that you'd have to trade for him. And that doesn't seem like something that they'd run away from, right?
But doesn't he want like a $400 million contract?
He does. So they'll trade for him, and then they'll lowball him, and then they may have to let him go. I don't know. I
oh,
mean,
great.
Listen, this is the way the Red Sox think. It's not me, okay?
So we're renting him.
Probably, yeah. And I don't know what it would cost in the trade. Probably cost a lot. Vlad Guerrero's pretty good.
Yes.
Either way, this offseason, as it drags on like this, and I do think that some of these players and agents are getting frustrated here, and that's why you're getting what you got from Rosenthal over the weekend, and you're hearing, you know, Heyman and some of these guys talking about how, you know, it's everything's kind of come to a close here, and this is what these players are wanting, and these teams need to step up, and blah, 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 blah. This whole cycle with Major League Baseball in the offseason has gotten pretty bad. I mean, it's not the first year that we've seen this. The only difference this year is that Soto signed right away, and you got that big signing, the crown jewel of the free agency. You got that out of the way pretty quick. Since then, Burns signed, couple other guys here and there. There's still a ton of guys just sitting out there ready to be had, and teams are balking, and I'm not sure why. And I do think if there's one explanation for it, it's probably something to do with Scott Boras and some of these agents and making demands that maybe these teams aren't ready to do and playing chicken because they've been doing this for years.
Yep.
They'll wait to the end of the offseason. They'll wait to the start of the season. They'll wait till they're a week or two into the season. Forget about spring training. They'll wait for the regular season to start before they actually come to the table and make these deals that they have to make. It's ridiculous, but it's every single year now. And for the Red Sox to not take advantage of that and go out there and get the guys that they want when you're in a period of time where really only three or four teams are out there being aggressive. The Dodgers are being aggressive. A couple other teams are out there really being aggressive. You have a chance to be one of those teams, and they're not taking it.
No, because they look at the back end of it in the hope that they can get Bregman on a reduced contract or a better contract, right, that they're not bidding against
right.
anybody, and they'll come crawling back. And I actually thought with Montgomery last year, maybe this would start to go the other direction. Maybe you'd start to have pitfalls and stories of it not working out and the riskiness. I also don't think it's...
It goes back beyond Montgomery.
I know.
Remember that year with Machado and Bryce Harper? And those guys didn't sign for the whole offseason.
I hate it. And I don't understand why they haven't taken steps to fix it. There's been talk of it. Remember there was talk it was... If you didn't sign a deal during the winter meetings, you couldn't sign a multi-year deal or
right.
something like that. There were these proposals on the table. And do they think they get more elongated buzz out of it or something?
No, I don't think so.
Because you don't. Because I look at the NBA and I look at the NFL, and they do flurries.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever the free agency period starts, Adam Schefter is like, like just tweet after tweet after tweet. This person, like, remember
the NFL dominates when it comes to the offseason.
Remember Rex Ryan was waiting in Bart Scott's driveway at midnight or something?
I do not remember that.
Yeah. He like camped out because at midnight he knocked on his door and was like, we want you in New York. We want to bring you to New York. Like, that is so much better than this crap.
Yeah.
So much better than this crap.
I think the real problem is that the baseball players, their agents are too good. That's it. They ask for too much money. They hold out too long. The owners all go, we can't afford this, or this doesn't make sense for us as a business perspective. And they wait and they wait and they wait. And then at the end they say, all right, God, we got to just sign him. Just go out there and get him. And let's just do this because we can't have this guy not on a team. And that's what happens. And it's been going on for a while now.
I also think you can get away with it more in baseball. Not to be disrespectful of the game and the people that play it, but if you we always talk about if you show up late in the NFL, usually you're hurt and the season sucks. And I think baseball, there's probably a better success rate of arriving late, getting in shape, and my talent will take over by the third week.
It's a longer
or
season. I mean, that's certainly
I'll
part
be fine.
Of it, too. Yeah.
Especially on my 10-year, $400 million contract.
Yeah. We'll get into more Red Sox stuff, as well as Bob Uecker. What a sad story that is. I mean, he had a good run, obviously.
Great run. Was he 90?
90 years old. And
if I live to 90... There will be no sadness in my death.
Definitely. Actually, especially if he had 90 years like he had. I mean, he was
beloved.
A legend. Absolute legend. And the best part of a movie that he played himself in, basically. I mean, it was, I know it was Harry Doyle in the movie, but he played a baseball announcer and absolutely crushed it. And it's just been, everything he's ever done has just been hilarious. Everything time I've ever seen him, every story anybody's ever told about him, just 100, batting 1,000.
What was the sitcom he was on? Was it Mr. Belvedere?
Yes.
I used to watch that.
Yeah. He was great on that.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones here. We'll start with Steve in the car. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Well, we're talking about the Bruins. Get rid of what's his name?
I don't know.
The guy that does the trades.
That would be Don Sweeney, yes.
Sweeney.
Get rid of Sweeney, okay.
Lord.
Well, listen, he was having a little trouble in the beginning there, too.
Not saying he was wrong.
Get rid of that guy that makes the trades. And then trade this guy. Well, what was he going to do it if you get rid of the guy that made the trade?
He was going get rid of. I thought he was going with Rich Keefe at the end of that sentence.
Well, would have been. He may have. You know, we never know that. But yeah, okay. So there were fire Sweeney chants at the Garden very recently.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going anywhere. I also wouldn't fire him until after the deadline, because if you do want to add, that is one thing he's good at. Like, Sweeney's good at reading the trade market. He's good at getting deals done. He's good at bringing in talent. Like, that's never been a problem. It's off-season free agent signings. It's drafting. Oh, is it drafting?
Contract re-signings at times. And
that
everybody gets
too,
a no-movement clause and all that kind of thing. Yeah, I would agree with you on that. But I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't think they have the appetite for that.
Probably
I don't think
not.
They want to fire Neely, and I feel like if you fire Sweeney, then Neely's, that's his boy. I don't think that's changing.
Yeah, probably not. But then again, they missed the playoffs. That'll get the attention over Delaware North, I'll tell you that. Matt's in Rhode Island. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how you doing, RJ? Good luck in the night show.
Thank you.
As it relates to that, I am absolutely done. I cannot do this anymore with the Red Sox, so I will not be tuning into any Red Sox games. If I want to see baseball, I'll simply fly down to the Inner Harbor in Baltimore. This thing with Jared Duran is just the last straw for me. I'm not big on the analytics or the statistics, but if you take that WAR stat and see the guys that he's grouped in with, and then on the offseason, you're going to tell this kid that you're going to argue about $500,000. And if I wasn't hallucinating yesterday when I was listening to your show, there's a caller that said they should take the $500,000 and invest in other
In the minor leagues, yes, is what they were saying. Man, thanks for the call. And
international
thanks
spending.
Thanks for the good wishes, even though he said he's not going to listen to any Red Sox games. I appreciate that anyway.
He's lying. Everybody's lying when they
you're
say
listen
that.
To that.
No
you're
one
listen
ever
to these
does
Red
that.
Sox games. That's
no one
true.
Ever does that. It's like when I say I'm not going to drink anymore.
Right.
I drink.
And, just make sure you listen to the Christian Hurricane Show, which begins on Tuesday at 6 o'clock. 617-779-7937. Yeah, the Duran thing is still pretty infuriating.
And they know the WAR. We heard Sam Kennedy say it. This is one of the best players in baseball. Mm-hmm. We're just not going to pay him.
We'll be damned if we're going to pay him like even a fraction of that, though. You know, I mean, that's really it. You're not giving him his big extension. Like, this is just another arb year, $4 million, and you're breaking his balls for what?
$500,000.
Honestly, I mean, that's a bizarre thing to do.
It really, that's a great word.
When you have, that's looking a gift horse in the mouth, isn't it, right? When you have a talent like that and you get to keep him around for $4 million, you keep him around for $4 million. You may even throw him an extra million just to be like, hey, you know, good faith here. You had a great season last year. You were a top five outfielder in Major League Baseball, certainly in the American League. Here's a little something for your troubles. Instead, they're busting his butt. Like, what are you doing?
And they're definitely not on the same page either.
No.
When you hear Cora and even Sam Kennedy, it's like, everybody just says, I don't know, Breslow's doing something down there. I'm sure he's got a plan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he had logic behind this very strange decision that none of us knew was coming, and we're happy to talk about it publicly.
I have the concept of a plan. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Paul in East Longmeadow as the non-Foxborough team hour is about to run out. Go ahead, Paul.
I mean, how do we start talking about letting Don Sweeney run this team any more than he already has into the ground?
Because he makes good trades. That's the only thing.
He doesn't, though, because he sets us back so far. Mm. The Orlov trade, the freaking, what's his name with the no teeth there, 59, Bertuzzi. We didn't get anything back from those guys.
But those were good moves at the time. They played well.
But we got nothing for them. And then on top of it, we blew it in the freaking first round to the Panthers.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. He's the worst GM we've had, period. He's a 0-0-0-0 on the talent evaluator scale. He cannot even scout his own team because Charlie McAvoy, frankly, sucks. Anybody who thinks differently is not watching the right game. He's a turnover machine. He's tough, Mr. Tough Guy when it's convenient. He is not a leader. This is why there's a leadership gap in this team, because the young guys like Pasta and McAvoy, they couldn't lead you to a freaking ice cream stand. They suck as leaders.
That was a good phone call.
That was the upset of the century that he didn't swear.
Yeah, I know.
I thought for sure
I was
ready. Coming.
I was like, I hope you got enough dump ready to go there.
They kept saying frickin' and like.
Oh, yeah, a few times. A few times I thought it was coming. I thought we got a couple bombs getting dropped there. I do think that Sweeney's made good trade. He's right. Like Bertuzzi and Hathaway and Orloff and those guys, he traded for Lindholm, Hampus Lindholm, I mean, a couple years ago. Like, those were all good moves. Like, I don't think those were bad moves. And those guys played well while they were here. The team ended up choking, but then they didn't retain any of them. Then they all just went off into the air. Was it? We got
Taylor
your rental
Hall
for the end
was
of the
a good
season.
Addition?
Yeah, Hall was good. I mean, you know, he was not first overall pick good, but he was a good player on his team. Yeah, and that was a good trade.
Yes.
He's made a lot of good trade. The Nash trade was a good trade all the way back in 2017 or whenever that was. There's been good trades that he's made. I just, you know, I think that's basically it. He's not a good drafter, and the contract stuff has not been good.
And
so
how can you say he's a 0.0.0 or however he phrased it in terms of he put together back-to-back teams that won the President's Trophy and was second, and one of them was the greatest of all. Like, you can't say he's a 0 point. Like, has he made mistakes?
Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Has there been? I agree.
And the team has to take a lot of crap
but
for their
McAvoy is a perfect
choking
example.
In the first round, too.
He's so overpaid. Mm. Like, that's just the simple reality. I've never really gotten to steal the phrase, the fascination with McAvoy. And he's making, your guys that are making $7+ million a year, You're not getting return on investment, correct?
No.
Your goalie? Hey, maybe your goalie's turned a corner.
He had a great game recently. I don't know if he's turned the corner yet, but he did have a very, very good game against Tampa.
These two back-to-back calls where we had a swear and then just a lot of passion against the Bruins.
Yeah.
That last game was one of their best games of the year.
It's true.
Which is interesting.
And they beat Florida.
Yeah.
Right before that. And they're still talking about maybe retooling now, at the deadline. So,
right,
you know,
before that was a really bad stretch.
Was the worst stretch they've had in years. So there you go. All right, the Patriots free first hour is over. When we come back, we'll hear from James White and his thoughts on the offensive coordinator search, which is still going either very slowly or very quietly or both. We'll get into that next.